Please give the Lord the honor, give the Lord the adoration, give the Lord the supremacy, dominion, rule, and sovereignty. We worship you, we honor you, and we adore you. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap of hand as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Somebody excited to be here, say a loud amen. It's been a very long time we had a Kingdom Financial Stewards meeting, and this is because we got very, very, very congested with crusade schedules. But many, many years ago, when we started the Solomon Business School, the Lord told me that the same way pastors are raised, ministers of the gospel are raised, in the same manner we should raise ministers of kingdom finance. People whose ministry is the conquest of finances for the kingdom. In tonight's meeting, I am going to be giving some illustrations. The aim of those illustrations and practical examples will be inspiration. It will not be for the purpose of intimidation. Don't feel intimidated, because in a time to come, I believe that I will be telling some of our own stories in the course of these teachings. I am speaking quickly on the subject. Are you okay? Okay. I am speaking very quickly on the subject, doing business with and for God. Doing business with and for God. Our objective in this teaching is to understand what it means to do business with and for God, what it means to do business with and for God, and then also to understand, number two, what drives the act of doing business with and for God. What is it that drives a person? That action of doing business with and for God. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, the Bible said, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day." So that scripture makes it clear that God has power to give wealth. Wealth is possible by many means, but there is a God who has the power to give wealth. In the book of Psalm 24, verse 1, the Bible said the earth is the Lord's, the oil and the gas, the banking and the finance, the real estate. Every single thing on the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God owns the earth. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and in verse 14, David speaking said, "But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort?" I hope the locations are connected, as many as possible. "For all things come of thee, everything comes from you, and of thine own have we given thee." Everything under heaven comes from God. He said, "And of thy own have we given thee." Haggai chapter 2, verse 8, and in verse 9. He said, "The silver is mine," God speaking, "and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." Somebody say a loud amen. I believe it was in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and in verse 9. That's right. I'm seeing the Kokomaiko church. Where he said, 2 Chronicles 16:9, he said, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong, to show himself wealthy, to show himself kail, to show himself rich in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. So God is looking for people, kingdom people, into whose hands he wants to deposit and deliver kingdom wealth. Now, but there are three categories of Christians where business is concerned. Three categories. Category one are Christian business owners or Christian business people who do their best to honor God with their business. They are business people, they are business owners who they will pay tithe, they will give offerings, but they own the business. Number two category are Christian business people in business partnership with God. These people don't see their business or enterprise as theirs. As a matter of fact, God is the principal partner of what they do. So these are two levels. I own a business. I make money. I pay my tithe. I give my offerings. That's great level. Because there are many people who don't give anything to God or give anything to the kingdom. So that level is a level. But there is this guy who is beyond that level, who is saying, this business, I don't own it. At best, I am laboring with God. I am in partnership with God. That is level two. The third level are Christian business employees of God. That is, in this one, he doesn't even consider himself the owner at all. I am just managing God's estate for him. I am managing God's resources for him. I am managing God's enterprise for him. God has employed me to work for him. It is category two and category three that is our emphasis in this meeting. The category one, if you want, we'll naturally pray for you, for your business to prosper, for God to ensure that what you do succeeds. But this second category, where we are saying, I am not the owner of the business. I am in partnership. God, you know how a legal firm has a principal partner, and then there are other partners, and how you have technical partners and financial partners of some businesses. Lord, you are the superior partner. I am in partnership with you. But then this third level says, Lord, you know what? You own the thing. I am managing it for you. You direct me where to direct your profit and direct your resources. Am I communicating? Now, what's the difference between the first level and the last two levels? What's the difference? I have already mentioned the first level is a committed business person. He owns the business. He owns his enterprise. He owns his practice. But he does the covenant practice. But this second level, there are two things that are very key. They are number one, God is the focus. Where God is partner or God is the owner, number one, God is the central focus. God and his kingdom are the central foci and objective of the business. The business exists for the cause of God. Somebody say, but what does that mean? Well, it's like the pipe that flows water that must be wet by the water that passes through it. Secondly, God is the principal partner in the business or enterprise. Principal partner or actual owner of the business or enterprise. I am working with you, Lord, but most importantly, probably working for you. Very, very important. That is, whatever be the outcome of this enterprise, God is first. And I'm going to give you about seven or more examples from Scripture where this happened. When you look at example number one is Cain and Abel. In the book of Genesis chapter 4, verse 4 to verse 5, the difference in the approaches of Cain and Abel. The Bible said, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord has respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now, go back. But Cain, okay, start from verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Verse 4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now, for many years, we assumed that because we've been taught that why God accepted the offering of Cain, of Abel, and didn't accept the offering of Cain, was because Cain offered a living sacrifice, Abel offered a life sacrifice that has blood, that he offered an animal, okay, and that had sacrifice power and blood. Well, it is possible that it is true, and it can be true. But a person would only offer what he has, isn't it? Except we are telling Cain to sell the yam that he harvested and go and buy a goat and bring it to God for God to accept. But that would be a very, very strenuous process. The basic thing that happened was that when Cain got his harvest, the Bible said, of the fruit of the ground. Sorry? Let me use these two rows. One and two. Can you stand up now? Come forward here. Quickly. Just gather together. Gather together. Just gather together. Come closer. That's right. You know, so this is Cain's offering. Okay, this is Cain's harvest. This is Cain's harvest. And as Cain got his harvest, he said, what should I give God out of all of this? Okay. Let me just pick this one. Come. He got off. Out of. Whichever one he felt like. Whatever was convenient, he picked. That was not Abel. Let's say Abel had 3 sheep that gave birth. All right. Come, Moike, and you. And you. Stand here. Face me. Another line. 2 lines. All of you line up behind them. 3 lines. Okay. 3 lines. You're on another line. You're on another line. Line behind them. Line absolutely behind them. Absolutely behind them. 3 lines. You are 4. You are 4 right here. All right. So let's say that Cain, Abel now had 3 lines of flock that gave birth. The mothers gave birth to all of this. You know how sheep give birth to plenty children. And they gave birth. If it was Abel, Cain, he would have gone to look for what to give out of. But for Cain, it was the firstlings. Before I ever touch it for myself, the first one that dropped. This is the first. You belong to God. This is the first here. You belong to God. This is the first here. You belong to God. The rest, I can do anything I want, but God is the central focus of my production. God is the first thing that comes to mind. It's not what to do with what I have. It's what to do. It's what the kingdom will need it for. God bless you. Please go and take your seat. All of you are chosen, okay? Just for the purpose of illustration. Now, so you see the difference in the approach of Cain and the approach of Abel. And God accepted it because this guy put God first and he put God central. Now, let's go to the second example, and that was Hannah. Hannah, in 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 11, all women look for children because they want children. Hannah looked for a child because God needed a prophet. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid, remember me, and not forget your handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. I will give him to you. Hannah studied the house of the Lord. Like I have said many times, the children of Eli were vagabonds, in fact, whatever. They were rascals. God's house needed a prophet, a priest. And Anna saw it. Anna decided, you know what? Lord, I am going to meet that need. I know I am barren, but at this time I'm not looking for a child now. You are looking for a prophet. I want you to give me the prophet that you want. Give me the child you have, the prophet. That was what Anna did. And Anna gave the young man back to God. What happened to Hannah later? Look at 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 21. After Anna had gotten, and the Lord visited Anna so that she conceived. That's after Samuel. And bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. That is 5 children beside Samuel. Do you understand that now? You decided to make me your focus, Hannah. The first child you gave and the child you wanted. In fact, Hannah wasn't looking for 2 children. She wasn't looking for 3. She wasn't looking for 4 or 5. Just 1. They say, I'm barren. I want that barrenness broken. But once you give me the child, I won't keep the child. I will donate him to church. I will bring him. I will put, he will remain in the temple. And as soon as Anna delivered the child, she weaned the child and took the child to the temple. Live there. That is what I asked God for. Now you belong to God for the rest of your life. But the God who does not own people, the God who doesn't use people and dump them, he said, you cannot give me a child and be empty-handed. Take 1, take 2, take 3, take 4, take 5. You know, many people are afraid to deal with God because they think God will cheat them, or they think God is planning to use them, or they think God is planning to defraud them. One of the men whose stories I'll tell you later, he said, when people say they are calculating their tithe, he's wondering, what's calculation? So I used 10 million to do the job, and they paid me 50 million. My profit is 4 million. Well, I used 10 million to do the job. They paid me 30 million. My profit is 20 million. So I'm going to give 2 million. He said, he doesn't have the time to calculate such. He said, everything that they paid him, he tithes it. He said, let God cheat him. Until date, God has not successfully cheated him yet. That is a man that can start a job of 100 billion without getting a loan from the bank. That's, you don't mobilize him. Do you understand what I'm saying? And take 1, take 2, take 3, take 4. These are people who are not just trying to achieve things for themselves. Hannah wasn't trying to achieve a child. She was trying to make heaven achieve a child. She was trying to make God achieve a child. She was trying to make the kingdom have what they need. This is like somebody saying, Lord, I am not looking for money for myself. I want crusades to happen in parts of the world. I want churches to be built. I want orphans and widows to be relieved. I want to provide employment for thousands of people. I want to eradicate. I want to do this. This is what I'm looking for money for. And God said, take the money that you want for this, but take this extra for whatever you need. That was Hannah. You go to the third example, and we have the example of David. In the book of Psalm 122 and in verse 9, Psalm 122 verse 9, the Bible said concerning David, it said, because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek your good. The New International Version says, for the sake of your house, I will seek your prosperity. Lord, I am looking for prosperity. I need money, not for me, not that I want to build myself a house. Not that I want to park from Lube to Asokoro. No, not that I want to move from Kuchingoro to Metama. No, not that I want to relocate to Paris or Switzerland. You need a house. Give me, I am looking for money to build you a house. He communicated that in Psalm 132, verse 1 to verse 5. He said, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swear unto the Lord and vowed to the mighty God of Jacob. What is the vow? Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house. I will not go to my bed. I will not sleep, give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord, a habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. And he found that place in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 1 to verse 5. He got the money for the sake of your house. I am looking for money. God gave him the money and he made the money available for the house. He said, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold. This is what he was looking for. I'm looking for money for the house. Silver for the things of silver. Brass for the things of brass. Iron for things of iron. Wood for things of wood. Onyx stones and stones to be set. Glittering stones. Diverse colors and all manner of precious stones. And marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have, because my heart is for the house of God, because I was looking for money in the first place, because I wanted God to have a house, I have of my own proper good, silver and gold, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Even 3,000, the Amplified, the New Living Translation puts it in dollars, even though that is ancient rate, but let me read this first. Even 3,000 talents of gold, of gold of offer, 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay with the walls of the houses without, the gold for the things of gold and the silver for the things of silver and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Who will join me to this? That was Solomon. You see, this personal contribution consists of millions of dollars of gold from offer, huge amount of silver to be used for overlying the walls of the buildings. It will also be used for the articles made of gold and silver for the artistic decorations. Now then, who will follow my example? Who will give himself and all that he has to the Lord? Somebody say aloud, amen. Lift your hands and say, Father, I will partner with you to conquer the wealth of the earth. Say, Father, I will be your employee. I will work for you. I will labor for you to conquer your resources in the earth and use it for your purpose. Somebody say aloud, amen. And then we have the third example. That was David, and that was what he did. He was actually looking for money, not just for what to do with himself, but for what to do for God. Now we looked at Peter. Peter toiled without success until he embraced partnership with the master. Then everything changed. You know, in Luke chapter 5 from verse 1, you read the Bible and it says, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word. Oh no. I thought I had set a time. And the people pressed on him to hear the word. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. They were washing their nets because they caught nothing. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him, begged him, asked him that he would trust, move a little from the land. And he sat on it and taught the people out of the ship. His business equipment had now become a preaching platform. He sat on it and preached to the people from it. And then, now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And then Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll lay down the net. And then, when he had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. Somebody say amen. Peter walked for himself. He walked with a lot of stress. When he walked with the master, it became a partnership. Let me use your fishing ship to speak. And then I will empower you to catch. Once that partnership was established, the stress was over. The struggle was over. The struggle was over. The stress was over. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody here tonight, your stress will soon be over. Your struggle will be over. Shout the loud most amen. Shout the loud most amen. Number 5 is Tyrannus. You remember the owner of the school where Paul preached in. In Acts chapter 19, verse 9, all the way to verse 10. But when divers were hardened, Paul was preaching, people got hardened, and believe not, they spake evil of that way before the multitude. He departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing, teaching daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And he continued teaching daily in a commercial school owned by somebody for 2 years. So that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. For me, Tyrannus was not just a school owner, but a kingdom partner. When there was so much persecution and there was nowhere to preach, that man opened the doors of his establishment, the door of his institution, for the gospel to be preached. I don't know the outcome of Tyrannus because it is not written. But when I get to heaven, I'm sure we'll find out what became of Tyrannus. For offering your school free of charge for 2 years so that the gospel can be preached. That's part of partnership with God and giving God ownership of what you have. And that is the Tyrannus. Number 6 is the owner of the upper room. The owner of the upper room. He functioned like somebody who was in partnership with God, who had this enterprise for God in Mark chapter 14 and in verse 12. Mark chapter 14 and in verse 12. The Bible said, and the first day of the unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where do you want us to go and prepare that we may eat the Passover? Keep going. And he sent for 2 of his disciples. He said unto them, go to the city. And there you shall meet a man carrying a pitcher of water. Follow that man. Wherever that man is reaching, wherever he going, say to the good man, the owner of the house, the master, the owner of the universe said, see that master is capital letter. Where is the guest chamber? Where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples. Somebody say hallelujah. And he will show you not just a large upper room that is already furnished and prepared for the Passover. That was a man that is in fellowship with God, who has heard God's voice, either seen a revelation or had an encounter with God. That is a man who walks with God and God has shown him a revelation like the widow of Zarephath. That was a man who is in partnership with God. Whatever he owned was not his own. He owned it with God, or in fact God owns it. That word master is owner, landlord. Ay, 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 ay. The real owner said, where is the place? And he will show you where he has already prepared. That is what we are talking about. Where you know that this thing I own is not really mine. Because if the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, then my car is the Lord's, my jet is the Lord's, my house is the Lord's, and then he gave it. This is what it means. Where you have things with the consciousness of one who is the owner. That is the owner of the upper room, number 7. And I have one more and we are done. Then the owner of the cult. C-O-L-T. The owner of the cult. In Matthew chapter 21 and in verse 1 all the way to verse 2. And when they drew near unto Jerusalem and we had come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus 2 disciples, saying unto them, go into the village that is against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt, a baby ass. Loose them and bring them to me. And if any man say anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, the master, and he will send them immediately. This is where we live in the realm, where we understand that he is the Lord of the universe. He is the Lord of my business. He is the Lord of my resources. He is the Lord of all I have. And we walk with that understanding. This story is repeated in Mark chapter 11, verse 1 all the way to verse 2 as well. It's repeated there, where the Lord has need, and it was released on the spot. And he said unto them, go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as you are entered into it, you shall find a colt tied. Where on never man, that is brand new, tear rubber. Never man sat on it. They haven't driven it before. Lose him and bring him. And if anybody says anything to you, say to him, the Lord has need of him. And straightway, he will send him hither. There are so many Christians that the Lord will never say, I have need of this. And they will release. It's not possible. There are so many Christians who, you want me to give church my money, my car, my house. So many people are like that. But we don't have them here. But there are many people like that. But when you come to that point, when he is the Lord of all, you are not just a Christian who is doing business. You are in partnership with him. And that partnership with him translates into him. Finally, it is the woman with the alabaster box. In Matthew chapter 26 and in verse 6, all the way to verse 7. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head, and he sat at meat. Keep going. But when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Mark 14, chapter 3, all the way to 6. Mark 14, 3 to 6. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Now, one of the great murmurers here was Judas Iscariot. The Bible said, he said that not because he pitied the poor, but because he was the one carrying the bag. So he can be frequently stealing from it. Hallelujah. But you see, when you decide to go very far with God, there are people who will consider your kingdom giving as a waste. They will think you are mad. If we had listened to the talk of people, we won't be here. We can't be here. That kind of madness is where we are. When this sanctuary was in construction, we flattened 2 accounts, big accounts, that have been in saving for years. It was empty. How long it took us for each of those accounts to come, it didn't take us like that anymore. After that, going forward, they will consider it a waste. But see what the waste produced. In John chapter 11, verse 1 to 2, John 11, 1 to 2. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the same Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with the ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick and later died. And the sacrifices she made before handled what money could not handle. It was that Mary that they are trying to refer us to what happened before that people were angry about. They said the content of the alabaster box is 1 year's saving. 1 year. It's like a salary of a year. Sacrifice of a year. Profit of a year. Somebody get ready. God is about to surprise you. Say aloud, amen. Say aloud, amen. Lift your hand. Say, Father, I am available to be in partnership with you. I make myself available. I make myself available. I make myself available. Now, let me give you 4 contemporary examples. Some of them might be here tonight, or some are watching online because they are out of town. So, a young man met me, how God stepped him into a particular kind of business. And prayer was offered for him. And then one day he came to me, he said, let me just put it the way that you will understand. I have this 7 shops. That's, I'm giving 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All these 6 shops, the profit of it, I will tithe, I will give from it. This 7th shop is not tithe, it's not anything, it's 100%. It has investments like that and dedicated one completely. That dedication, he meets it, the obligation every month in 7 figure. Do you understand what I'm talking about? One of the men called me last night, and I spoke with mommy. Mommy also spoke with that man. He said, I have gotten a second plane. Not the way you say I got a second car. And I just wanted to let you know that maybe you don't have problem with movement for crusades, and maybe you have available what can take you. But I want to say that this new plane that we got is 100% available for all crusades at no cost. He said, anywhere you intend to go, all we need to know is that you want to go for so and so crusade. It is available, and he emphasized, at no cost. Now, these are the kind of people. Now, when I met that man, he has business in one town in Nigeria. And then extended to his second town. Today, he has jobs, as at the last time we talked, 34 out of 36 states. Everywhere. Plus, jobs outside the country. He had a mega project of $126 billion. He brought it back and said, please help me pray on this. Let it go. Now, I told you from the beginning that the stories I'm going to tell you is not for any purpose other than motivation. That God, the same God unto one, is rich unto all that call upon him. Then, one of the young men we met, he said, in his vision, covenant book, he wrote that by the time God is able to assist him get up to 10 billion, he was doing jobs in hundreds of millions and want to, he gets up to 10 billion, he will fix the 10 billion profit. He will fix it and then be living on the returns of it for the rest of his life. He would then retire from active business under the age of 50 or so. Retire from active business so that he can have time for maybe work of God like evangelism, go for crusades and so on. So I told him, I said, it's a good dream, but that is a thorough limitation of your life. At that age, you say you will retire and all you are thinking is 10 billion. You think it's so much, right? I said, look at us, we multitask. We do several things. You can still do all the things and still go to your crusades. Yeah, and still attend and do the things you want to do. But in case you are serious about the 10 billion, get the 10 billion. But continue to make money and channel the balance to the kingdom. He had already written it in his vision book. That is his a life goal. You see, after I talked to him, he went and canceled it, deleted it. It was a useless goal, he said. The last time we were with him, what did he say? Then he said, if you gave him a job of 1 billion, he's not touching it. Look for another person. Now he said the job of 10 billion. Yes, the job of 10 billion is now too small for him. Give it to another person. The same person who was saying he wants 10 billion. So he can retire. You see, so I said this is the place of prophets over people's lives. You have a ceiling, you have a vision you think is big. And then somebody tells you that vision is too small, too little. It's too small, too little. Now, if it's functioning freely as a kingdom partner with God, functioning freely. Next time we are here, your story shall be bigger than this. That amen is too paralyzed. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. If you are saying amen, shout a louder believer, say amen. If you are saying amen, say amen like you mean it. Take your seat. Finally, one of the young men, is not based here in the country, but is under this cover of the commission. Has estate interests in UAE, Britain, and other places like that. So he had sent both for home crusade and foreign crusade. He will call and say, oh, what is the bill of this particular crusade? Right, this is the bill. All right, I'm paying all of it. What is? I hear you are going to so and so country. What's the bill of it? I'll pay all of it. So this year, he said, what is the entire bill of the crusade of the whole year? So I said, what do you mean? He said that he says there's something he's expecting. That he thinks that the time has come where the whole bill can be written off, and also feels like being on the crusade ground himself, just serving the ground. So I said, the one I know about, I can tell you a little bit. He said, so what's happening? He said, so he's stepping into a business in a country, a particular nation. And so he covenanted with God that the business in that nation and other places where he is in partnership with God. 50% of every return on the business, all of it goes into the kingdom. Apart from tithing from his own 50%. After we spoke, he called, I wanted to clarify that the 50% of his own is still tithed. Really? You have seen nothing yet. These are the kind of... Now, that same person said, how many rooms will I sleep in one night? How many cars will I drive? How many houses will I live in? How much do I need to take care of my wife and children? And the balance should be used for what? That's how people think. And like I said, told you from the beginning, I am not saying anything to make anybody feel low, but to pump us into post. The guy who was already feeling, was already doing well. He was already touching some millions and hundreds of millions and billions, and has fixed a target for 10 billion. Until he encountered a mantle that lifted that lid. Something is being lifted off your life today. And I'm happy that everybody is connected everywhere. Something is being lifted off your life today. But let me tell you the truth. Do you know that terrorism is costly? Do you know that terrorism? Do you know the price of one AK-47? Millions. One. You know the price of bullets. There are people who are making money to sponsor killings in places like Nigeria. A major budget of their resources is for terrorism. A major budget of their resources is for banditry. A major budget of their resources to see how they can delete Christianity, if possible, out of nations of the earth. And there are Christians who are just busy. I got a house in Dubai. I got a house here. I got a house here. I flew here. I flew there. I flew there. With no zero kingdom vision. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world? Lose your soul. And by the time we are all gone from this world, who will use the things you got? But I believe that somebody seated here tonight, in a short while to come, God will completely change your level. I said he will change your level. Now, finally, in conclusion, what is it that drives people to partnership with God? Or drive people into seeing God's ownership, partnership with God. Number one is the sense of one's ownership by God. When you have the sense that even your life is owned by God, it drives you. The sense of one's ownership by God. That is, God owns me. And if God owns me, he owns all. Revelation chapter 4 verse 11. He said, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things. And for thy pleasure they are and we are created. You own me and you will use me for your glory. Isaiah 43 and in verse 21. Isaiah 43 and in verse 21. He said, these people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. I formed them. So when you have that mentality. Wait a minute. I don't own my heartbeat. I don't own my breathing. God owns me. It drives you. Number two, it is the sense of God's ownership of all things. God owns all things. Psalm 24 verse 1 said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell therein. 1 Chronicles 29:14. Say, but who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of you. And you are the owner of what I am trying to give you. of thy own have we given you. You are the owner of what I am trying to give you. You own what I am planning to give you. What drives people like this to partnership with God, number four, is passion for the defense of the kingdom. Passion for the defense of the kingdom. The same way that people try to defend their religion or try to spread terrorism with a lot of resources. When you have passion, this gospel must not suffer in my days, must not suffer in my time, must not suffer in my generation. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 7. The Bible said, inasmuch as in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers of my grace. Philippians 1 and in verse 7. Even as it is meet for me to think of this you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace. You are partakers of my grace. That's that passion. Like when they wanted to sell a church, and the people who are using the church have no money to buy the church, and some other people want to buy the church and turn it to something else. And when it got to our ears, he said, no way, not in our day, not while we are alive. How much is the cost? When they told us we sent the money. Till today, I don't know the pastor. That's in Kogi State. I don't know the pastor. The Christian Association of Nigerian chairman of that state got in touch with us. We paid the money. The pastor said he wants to come and say thank you. No need for thank you. It's done for God. It's in the defense of the gospel. Not in our days you buy a church and turn it to something else while we are alive. That defense will drive you that whatever God puts in your hand, whenever God needs it, is available. Now that aircraft I talked about is for commercial purpose. That is to fly, charter, and make money for the owner. But the owner said it's 100% available anytime it is needed. For anywhere. That is, one to fly to Maiduguri is available. One to fly to London is available. One to fly to Pakistan is available. The business can wait. Do you understand what I'm saying? Say it's a matter of the owner needs it. The defense of the gospel. And finally, passion for the spread of the kingdom and the building of God's house. When that passion is in your heart, that the kingdom must be spread. The kingdom must be spread and the house of the Lord must be built. Then you are in partnership with God. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17. The Bible said, cry yet saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities true prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. Isaiah chapter 45 and in verse 1 to verse 2. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holding to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaf gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before you, make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And he said, go ahead, verse 3, and I will give unto you the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, which call you by thy name, I am the God of Israel. Then when he gives him that, the riches, in verse 13, he said, I have raised him up in righteousness. I will direct his ways. He shall build my city. I am giving him this wealth for him to build my city. Beloved, I welcome you. You can start your journey from where you are. In tithings, in givings, for crusades. We just mentioned recently about crusades, the crusade account, they have it. We talked about also churches being planted this year, like 3,000 around the country. And all forms of givings. As the Lord lays in your heart, the givings can follow different channels. Yesterday, 2 days ago, somebody asked me, he said, can you send me your account? Your account. I want to sow into. Hold on this first. your account. I want to sow into your ministry. So when he said your account and then your ministry, it looked contradictory to me. Because the ministry is different from myself. So I sent him the church account, the crusade account. He said, oh, yes, I know of this. I'm going to give to this. But I'm talking of you. I want to sow to you. I said, all right. It's because you mentioned your ministry. But I said, and then I sent him that one. So there are times where God will lay your heart the same way. Not long ago, myself and my wife took a seat to our Father and the Lord. And he looked at it and looked at the volume and he said, oh, it's for the church, is the sacrifice. I said, oh no, this is not sacrifice. The one for the church has been given. God laid it in our heart for this into your life. We want to be a part of your giving. So when you spread it, the harvest that comes to you returns, flows into us as well. Because we know that your life is given. That's my mentality. We are channeling, we are connecting into your release. Am I communicating? This is where you start from. And just let heaven know. I have come to the point in my life, Lord, where I'm not just trying to look for money, for a car, for a house. Look at the example of Hannah. When she made up her mind to give it to God, God gave her five extra. Five extra. It's a new day for you. And it's a new season. We shall pray shortly. I'm going to pray with passion of heart. Now, look at the examples I made. I just gave now. One said, I'll give my aircraft. One said, give me a whole year's crusade bill. And then I gave four examples. Suppose we have 1,000 such people. And you are among them, right? 1,000. And we are now flying to Southeast Asia part of Indonesia. Well, I've been to Indonesia before, ministering with Dr. Maurice Cerullo. But going back there again, all right, is the largest country with the population of the other religion. And I said, okay, let's go there. And somebody said, please, this is my aircraft available to transport counselors. Another one said, this is my own available to transport ushers. Another one said, this is my own available to get protocol. Another one said, I want to produce one for the intercessors who will go 1 week ahead of time to pray on the ground. Do you understand what I'm talking about? How do you feel if 1,000 people, we are on the devil at the same time? Alright? And the flow is extending even beyond our boundaries. Other churches will now look at us and say, we are trying to build 10 churches in the rural areas without this. Oh, no, don't worry. We have resources to assist you. Other people say, help us with our crusades. We see the big crusades you are doing. And most pastors are asking me today, you do 4 crusades in 1 week. You don't take offering from any crusade. How is it done? Because they say, we want to do crusade too, but what of the money? Do you understand? I've seen people express genuine concern. It's one thing to say, I want to go. But how do you organize, coordinate the lockdown? When we went to Angkpa, we went with our sets of equipment. From Angkpa, we went to Boko. The equipment that went to Angkpa cannot go to Boko because Boko is immediately the next day. So we needed a new set of equipment in Boko. The one from Angkpa now drove to Makurdi. Do you understand what I'm saying now? And you understand all of these things, the resources, the every single thing, how is it done? You know, by the time God empowers all of us, we will now be able to flow as an ocean to other ministries, other ministers, other churches, and raise people everywhere. Churches everywhere. Crusades everywhere. Fire burning everywhere. Until the earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And I stand here today, whether the devil of poverty is sitting on your head, the yoke of that poverty shall be broken. In the name of Jesus, every ancestral curse, every generational curse that has resisted your resources, I declare it broken. Every covenant of the waters, every covenant from the witchcraft world, because many of us, the devil knows that if you have it, the kingdom will feel it. So he wants to restrain it from you having it. He wants to stop you. He wants to make you live from
paycheck to paycheck, from hand to mouth, and from survivor to survivor. But tonight I stand with the same apostolic and prophetic mantle, and to announce and decree to you that yoke is broken. It's a new season.